It's the intellect, yeah.
So you've been in this lifetime and you're bringing that heart disease that knows everything and then everybody. Like, what dominates in terms of choices and whatnot? Who we are or who we are and who we've been with? You know what I mean? What kind of...
Well, that's your choice. See, before you come in, it really is. Before you come in,
well,
you go before...
Sold.
I know. Yeah, well, the heart has the ability to transform everything. The heart is the seat of unconditional love and compassion. And so that's where we get the saying of take it into your heart, you know, when you feel something really. The heart can transform everything, but most of us aren't taught that from childhood. We have to understand it as we get older.
The end of the astral body, talking about choices and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Who we are and who we've been in this life versus everyone we've been that we're bringing in.
Well, again, that everything that you come in to be this time or whatever, that's something you choose before you come in. You take a look at that. The lords of karma or the angels of karma and your guardian angel help you look at, you can see almost the whole record, the things that you need to know about, you're allowed to see. And then you make choices based on what you see, what lessons you want to focus on, who you want to be with. But then when you get here, you still have free will choice emotionally and in the mental realm, you know, about, well, do I really want to do that lesson this lifetime, or do I want to skip that?
Especially somebody who's an old soul to people, I mean, I know it's all mixed once. I guess I'm trying to figure which seems to have more, or maybe there's not a clearance, or more dominance, or more choice. I guess it's this lifetime we're in right now, because you said that's
this is your point of power right now. That's right. This is your point of power.
I think back, not to always dominate about my son, but since he, everybody always used to say, was felt like such an old soul.
Okay.
He died at such a young age, being a three-year-old, that's always confused me. And I mean, I know you grow and learn and evolve the heaven world, but who he was meant to be or what, both words I keep forgetting, but what, words.
Sounds like.
His karmic.
Karmic.
Lessons.
Karmic,
okay.
Karmic, right.
Okay.
In terms of, I guess that's what I'm talking about.
Well, remember that the soul has no age. Age only exists here in this dimension,
right,
like time and space. So the soul is an ageless being. And when Tommy came in, he knew as that ageless being that there was the potential for a short existence,
right,
this lifetime through drowning. And it was fully his choice how he would live his little life in those 3 years and whether or not he would choose to exit in that way or stay longer. But apparently, and again, this is a judgment on my sense, but apparently he impacted those he was to impact, and he did what he was to do through his death, mm-hmm, such that it made a lasting imprint of some sort, or it affected others to growth, or whatever. Perhaps that was the work that he had come to do, just as when my 5-year-old brother died of kidney cancer.
Right.
It had a profound impact on a big family.
Right.
And that was, to me, I think it was Glenn's purpose to do that so that I awakened very early when I might have stayed asleep, you know, through my 30s or something, or never have awakened. And the same for my other brother, who was very connected to Glenn, and then my very young brother didn't come in until long after Glenn died, and my sister didn't come in until 4 months after he died.
So more of who he was in terms of heart disease.
Yeah.
At such a young, in this lifetime age, would be more in terms of, you know, choices or going and whatnot. That's more what I'm getting at.
It's always the heart of the person, I think, that means more than anything else.
It's
always is.
Though, you know, they say that your life can be interrupted by a true accident. I mean,
yes, it can happen.
As opposed to the accident.
Right.
But then there are accidents that ended the life prematurely, and in that case, then that soul would definitely come back, probably,
right,
maybe in
Probably more quickly. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think about my girlfriend whose daughter died when she was 17, and I feel very strongly because I had been given a letter to give to their other daughter through
right.
That I wrote this letter that I felt like came from her. And then right after that, she had a baby girl born prematurely who weighed a pound and a half and never had one infection and absolutely galvanized the family, turned everybody around, this baby girl. And I wonder... I feel very strongly that it is Susan back to the same family, now born to the sister.
Very possibly, yes.
And because of the change that has transpired in the whole family. Because there was very strong alcoholism in the family, and father died after the daughter died. He had an accident and died like 2 years later. The girl died because of an alcohol-related the kids were drinking after the homecoming game. And it's like, and the daughter, the other daughter, did drugs, and her husband did drugs. And now this baby's born early, and because they almost lost this baby, and because it puts that girl on her knees every day, 4 and 5 hours a day, you know, to save this child, and the child has come through it, and she's like a little angel.
So the family had problems that lost
the baby. The family had huge problems, and they have changed their life,
right.
All of them.
Crudely saying that, like, if a child dies, they can give it up, like, under 7 or 10 or whatever, it was more karmic reasons, but if sometimes older, it was more family workout reasons.
That's a judgment.
It's total judgment. I was, yeah. Interesting.
Hard to say.
It seems like I knew kids that were more early teens. Boy, the families are really messed up. I mean, it's a judgment thing. But.
Yeah, there's lots of different takes on these things.
When you're there as an observer without the emotion, and you can watch this whole drama, because I was there when the girl died. I knew them very well. And now, you know, 13 years later, to see a baby born and to be a part of writing a letter and just being a part of the whole thing, I can see this master plan, you know,
sure.
And it's just really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way to really hold all of that information and compartmentalize it the way our intellects would like to. I think all of the things that we talked about are possibilities. And there's probably lots more that we haven't even considered, you know. It's such a vast subject. One little thing that I want to mention that I kind of glossed over, when you move through the bardo, and this is talked about very clearly in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, if you haven't kind of resolved or forgiven or healed a lot of your stuff, you know, I don't know what it could be, some kind of thought form. There's a lot of talk about the dwellers on the threshold. The dwellers on the threshold are our children that we've created, our thought forms, all of the things that we've embroidered and thought about and taken it out and lovingly propped it up again and run the reel one more time, all of those things, whether it's anger at a parent for the way you were treated as a child or at a friend who has forgotten you and didn't treat you well or whatever it was. All of those things, those thoughts that go out from our intellect create a living essence, a thought form. They do. And if...
Yeah, those boogers come back to you.
Yeah, they do. And one of the things that happens is you can fall into great states of fear. I think this young woman in that book I mentioned, meets a lot of her stuff, her anger and fear, but she doesn't recognize it. She just thinks they're nasty creatures, you know, or whatever. And when you first begin to meditate, a lot of times people have weird things kind of show up in their face. Well, it's oftentimes their thought forms that they have created. And all you need to do is surround that with love or ask it to dissolve or accept it or love it or bless it or whatever, and it does shift. Fear is really the contracting energy. So when you meet all of these experiences through the judgment, should you go through that, or through your life review, or as you're leaving the body, there's a bunch of other things there too, if you don't merge with the clear light, it's often your own creations that you're meeting, not some horrible monster.
I just thought of something, and this is high on the intellectual debate topic here, Oprah. At a near-death experience show, there was a gal there. Did you see that one? There was a gal there that said she died. She was addicted to drugs, died from an overdose, and she thought she went to hell. Every time they went to heaven, And she said, well, I went to hell. She said, well, okay. You saw coming in the room and the whole thing.
Okay.
So you and I were talking about, well, were they, you know, hallucinations, but she was saying it was horrible, and she was praying to go back, and she changed, whatever. Well, it was probably very much, especially being
her own creation,
and on drugs, overdoing the thing at the time, and whatever problems were causing her to be a drug addict anyway, and right.
And with drugs,
she just thought she went to hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, understand.
Well, a personal hell, certainly.
They were confusing, because everybody who had been experienced go to heaven, and then this gal said, well, I went to hell.
The traditional Christians would say, well, there's a person who's heaven and hell.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
When you describe that, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, well, that's, and not only that, when you're very drug addicted, the whole auric field is so open and vulnerable that, you know, any other entity from a lower level, the incubi and succubi of the Bible are not just, you know, illusions. They live at a certain level, and there's a lot of that kind of stuff. Well, it may be looking for something you have, the drug you're addicted to, perhaps. So, you know. So, yes, what were you going to say? You started to...
Oh, was that, maybe it was the Betty Eady show that she had that one time with her.
A young woman who overdosed with Betty Eady.
Saw the demons.
Right.
Okay. Oh, no, but this was a gal that was an overshadowing thing. Oh, you're right. She did talk about that.
Betty Eady's book? I read parts of it. Uh-huh.
Embrace
by
the Light.
Yeah, one of the New York Times
followers. And one of the things she said was that she was shown that there was no reincarnation. That people held within their cells
That's an interesting thought, as are all of these things. It's really hard when you get right down to, is this the truth or is this the truth? Because a lot of it is projections of our own mind, which we also must recognize and learn to recognize. And so that may have come up because that's a belief structure that she's somehow nurtured on a certain level. It's hard to say.
Very strict Catholic.
Yes.
Very meaning
to
be true for her.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, maybe how she experienced
yes.
More complicated.
But if you're reincarnated, you're reincarnated.
Right.
I don't think you can change that.
Yeah.
You just made, maybe for her, she was supposed to get that experience out
what
of her near
sure
death.
Too, is that you're given the experience that you can understand.
That you
yes.
Can.
And at the level that you can accept.
Yeah.
Did you want to say something, Lori?
Oh, poor Lori, she's so quiet.
Jump right in here.
Good
point.
And, well, especially
no. Sorry. Only if you merge with the clear light. That's at the second dawning, you have a greater expanded experience, I would say. But the ability to merge with consciousness really is the key. What?
She goes, you can still believe your own garbage.
Yeah. It's true.
You can play true,
you
true,
not
true.
Believe
well,
it.
It was like always in my... it was like always in, you know, when I was born again for hit my door down about after Tommy passed, and I remember thinking back then with absolutely little knowledge I had, was I could make, you know, you're not going to heaven unless, you know, Jesus is your personal savior, etc. And I thought, well, that makes sense. Why would you end up being with him if that wasn't your, you know, when you talk about
that's right.
Darker level, I figured that out without knowing anything, so that made sense.
The universe is so loving that whether you're a Buddhist, an Islamic person, a Catholic, a Baptist, whatever, it brings to you what you need, what you recognize.
Right.
It's all one, but it has many guises,
right.
Many faces.
One of the Bibles in my house is many
years.
Yes. And I was in a Bible study one time with born again Christians, and that was their proof. I don't know how I got the proof out of that, but that was their proof that you had to be born again Christian if you're going to be in the house with
right.
God. And I said, no, that's the exact opposite proof to me. That's telling me that there is room for all of us in God's house.
There are many levels to that teaching, yes.
Many levels. This was before my meetup experience. This was about a year before. And then when I had the experience, it was like, aha, I was right.
Yeah. For you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, Lori. Wait a second.
That's fine what you said, but then I thought, okay, well then if you are going to be coming back in, when do you get the knowledge that you've always had or that's always been there?
Okay. That's a process of remembering, really, as you leave the body. It's that part of knowing who you are and from whence you came and what your experiences have been. If you are evolved enough and open enough, that will all automatically come forward for you. But if you are in any way distracted or in states of fear or, worry about the people who are left behind or grieving or whatever, you won't recognize that. And it may not come again. It may or it may not, depending on what your process is. It's so individual. That's why we should practice recognizing the vastness of ourselves while we're here, and that we are multidimensional, and that we are not separated from the Creator. You know, he, she flows through us all the time. Mary Jo. Yes.
You know, and that you don't have to wait until death to go through all of that. That you can do your life if you can incorporate all your past lives, your life lessons. You can come to peace and ascend your consciousness in this body.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's really, I think, very much what we're here to do.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay for all of us to be where we are, but you do make a good point that the doorway is wide open for us to transcend everything.
Yeah, so that knowledge, that remembrance, you can achieve now, it's there. It's the conscious intent that opening that, creating that channel where you're open to it.
The whole thing is being open.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that how it's the work in the life versus everybody thinks, like what we're saying. You know, once you pass over, boom, you're going to know all, be all, everybody's going to be in the same. That's the belief that so much people have.
But the thing is, as Mary Jo says, you could achieve that this lifetime.
Right.
And as you're ready to remember, it comes up naturally if you're not. Again, it has a lot to do with your fears and the growth that you've achieved and all of that kind of thing. Someone like Jesus or the Buddha or any of the other masters that you can name have the ability to live as an ascended master in this dimension, but move effortlessly to any other body necessary for any other dimension at any given point in time. And the Buddha and Jesus are two people of whom we have a pretty good record of what they did. I think we're going to find out a lot more about Jesus. But the business of, it says in the Bible how he descended into hell, he descended into hell after 3 days or whatever. He took a particular body and went to the very dense, low astral levels, is what I get from that. But he also went to many other levels and many other places, a lot of which has been excised from the Bible as we know it. So, and if you read the teachings of the Masters of the Far East, you can get into touch with that kind of thing and what it's like to live fully awakened as an ascended master on this earth. So.
Right. The process of living, plus the whole process of dying right at the end. And
meaning why so many people have heart deaths or diseases, because they're going to have to learn that way.
Yes, that's one reason that happens. In fact, the body will manifest a terminal illness sometimes, if that is the way to get your attention. Well, cancer is a transformative energetic. Sometime we'll just have to talk about that kind of